And we'll have a little bit of business before we get to your presentation.
Sounds good.
All right.
So, are we good? We're all here?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll call the meeting to order. Why don't we just go around by way of roll call and introduce ourselves, so for Tara's benefit, and also, you know, if you just remember everyone from last time. So I'm Marianne Boza.
I'm Alicia Kern.
Chuck Fornash.
Susan Hogg.
Amanda Caffrey.
Marcia Eckelman.
Peggy Hocker.
And I'm Tara Campy with Cascades West Council of Governments. Thanks for having me.
So, the minutes from December 10th. Hopefully you all got that in the second round, and there's a
I apologize for that. I think that's the whole month.
Surprised you get as much straight as you.
This is a real small thing, and I even hesitate to bring it up, but under the where you selected the appointments,
mm-hmm.
my name is SHA, not CIA.
Oh,
and you spelled it correctly.
Yeah.
And I already did it again in the notes, so okay. Thank you for that.
And we, so relevant to the meetings and to our new members, we had a little question about Dave Team's membership.
Probably stolen the minutes.
Yeah, okay. On the minutes. But I wanted to bring it up because I thought there was a question. I thought that there was a correction needed on the minutes because I was not aware of the fact that Dave did resign from the committee. He did it verbally to Peggy.
Oh, okay.
And so the city council went ahead and appointed three members. Okay. That's why we have three members.
I was worried about that when I was at that meeting. I said, oh, okay.
He actually emailed it to me, so I have it for posterity. Mm-hmm. Chuck, did you have another change?
Yeah, a couple of little things. On page 3, we were talking about the maps, and Marianne was asked about the large maps that the committee asked for. There's someplace in here that said that there.
Right.
Fornash reported that there are three maps, one for each. It's, well, the three maps needed. It's not that there's three maps.
Oh, I see what you mean.
But there's, in order to have the scale be usable, it would be nice to have. That broke into the three sections so that we didn't have the whole city, because sometimes we're looking at streetscapes that are fairly tight in their perspective. So if we had three, so I don't know if we're ever going to get those maps, but when we do, it'd be nice to have it covered in three sections so we had sufficient detail. That was
You know, Derek has now got the ability to make some maps, but I don't know if they're quite what you were looking for. In fact, I doubt they are, but
I've seen similar things at wayfinding meetings.
These are basically brand new, so.
Okay.
I saw one at Seafood and Wine this morning.
But we need maps still.
Okay.
And if we do end up getting them, it would be nice to get what we think we want.
Mm-hmm.
So we.
Three sections.
And I think in the bike head plan, aren't they broken up into three sections? So if we could have the same three, that would be
okay.
Good, the way they're broken up in the bike head plan.
Yeah. And it does say on that page 3 also, next paragraph up, second paragraph, last line, it says landscaping and a light at 3rd Street. I guess we really mean a flashing light, right? If somebody were just reading this, they might think it was a traffic light or whatever, but I assume those are flashing lights that we're all
Where is this?
Under committee comments.
Oh, okay.
Page
second
3,
paragraph
2, last line.
And a flashing light.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's all I have.
Okay. So, can we approve the minutes then?
I make a motion that we approve the minutes with the corrections.
A second?
I'll second.
And vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And we don't have any members of the public here, so there won't be any public comment except for Sarah Campy, who Jan has the floor. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with Cascades West Council of Governments, but we are a regional government office. We do transportation planning. We have a senior and disability services wing. We have do a variety of services in Lynn, Benton, and Lincoln counties. And we have offices in Toledo, Albany, and Corvallis. And I work in the transportation department doing a variety of outreach programs and et cetera. And I'm here to talk to you about two specifically. And I want to say thank you to Marianne for helping forward out a lot of the information I sent her. It probably might feel like spam sometimes because I'm like, we have this going on, and can you share this? So thank you so much for doing that. So one thing I want to talk to you about is Safe Routes to School, which you might already be familiar with. Is anyone already familiar with Safe Routes to School? So we have a grant from ODOT to do Safe Routes to School work in Lincoln County this school year and next school year. And this year we're working with Newport Intermediate School, and next year we're working with Newport Intermediate and Ocean Lake Elementary up in Lincoln City. And Safe Routes is a statewide and also federal program that promotes safe walking and biking for children. And it focuses on what they call the five E's. So engineering, education, encouragement, enforcement, and evaluation. So education and encouragement are kind of the areas that we're focusing mostly on, and that's everything from bike safety classes to giving away treats and reflective leg bands and et cetera. Engineering, of course, is a larger dollar amount item that it's harder to get money for, like we need sidewalks in front of our school, but are obviously very important too. But the first step to get any funding for anything relating to walking and biking from ODOT is to have an action plan in place that kind of brings together the goals, challenges, and ideas from the school community and the community at large. So that's what we're working on this year, is working on writing an action plan. So we've had a couple meetings already. They're open to the public, so we'd love any of you to come. The next meeting is going to be in March at Newport Intermediate School, and I'll be sending out a doodle poll to decide for everyone to mutually decide on a time. So I can send that through. Is Marianne, are you the best contact to send that through, or the city or whoever to get the word out to folks about that? Okay. And one step that we just recently completed is they require some data collection from the school. One item is a parent survey that looks at parents' perceptions and ideas around walking and biking to school, and also a student tally that counts the ways that students travel to school. And one of the surprising things that came out of that tally is Newport Intermediate has 5% students that walk to school in the morning, according to that survey, and 29% in the afternoon. So a really big increase, and of course there could be a lot of explanations for that, like parents are and families are more time constrained in the morning than they are in the afternoon, or et cetera. But there's a lot of opportunity there to hopefully increase the numbers. And there were also zero students in the whole, all of the surveys and the tallies that cited biking to school. So huge opportunity for growth there. And of course, there's safety concerns for sure with students that live, for example, on the other side of Highway 101 or et cetera. So we are making sure to look at it through the lens of life skills. So for example, if we do down the road, if we were able to do bike safety classes in the school at all, it would be in the context of life skills, because not every child is going to be able for whatever reason to actually bike to school, but the safety and the knowledge can still enhance, you know, be useful in their lives in general. So
can I ask you a real quick question?
Sure.
You said the intermediate school. Are you also including the magnet school that's up there too? Because those are older kids.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. So I'll pass this around. This is a flyer that I give out at every Safe Routes meeting that we have. It's just kind of the 411 of why is active transportation important, and from the health aspect and et cetera, just kind of some basic information about Safe Routes.
Are you going to be interacting at all with that group from, what was it, one of the universities that was doing that traffic study? They've been putting all those different...
rubber bands across the
river. Yeah, yeah.
Here in town?
Was that OSU that was doing it? It was some group from university that's been doing a traffic study.
My assumption would be OSU.
Just because I could tell that intersection where you turn between the high school and, you know, where you turn to is so horrible. Mm-hmm. I could see walking. I couldn't see riding a bike.
It's awful, even when they're not dropping off our speed.
Yeah, it is.
They need to
fix that intersection. But anyway, I just thought that traffic data, I wondered if that would be helpful.
Yeah, for sure.
I just can't remember who's doing it. I remember reading an article about it.
Probably could Google it and find it.
And I was in communication, I think right before the holidays, with Tim Gross about some infrastructure projects that he has coming down the pipeline with signaling on 101 and intersection improvements. I don't know what the timeline is. It could be several years out. But those are examples of things that we can mention in our action plan, in particular ones that are near schools, saying that you know, these are important from a Safe Routes to School perspective as well. So our action plan can support his application, and his application can hopefully mention Safe Routes too, and then maybe increase opportunities for funding from ODOT down the line.
I think they were building those crossings fairly soon, within a year.
Yeah. Within a year, probably. The project itself is underfunded by $300,000 because ODOT re-engineered it.
Because it wasn't it was $90,000 last meeting.
It's $300,000.
What's the... Okay.
I think that in discussions with Tim, there's an expectation that the project will be done, but it won't be until later this year at the earliest, late this year.
I don't understand what the change is. So you granted it, and then...
Well, it's ODOT engineered it. And when ODOT engineers something...
They don't re-engineer it.
So we had the money for the grant, then ODOT
made
it more expensive.
Yeah.
And so now the grant won't cover the whole cost of it. So we can't start it until
we raise the money.
And this all came after the last of two public meetings that four of our members attended.
It is frustrating dealing with ODOT.
But as far as Safe Routes to School is concerned, the 6th Street is one they'd be using, and that's got light already on it. So
maybe we don't need to mention it because it might be built by then.
Because, you know, the 7th Street goes right down to 6th Street.
Who was that grant from, Peggy?
I don't know.
Do you remember, Chuck?
But, I mean, Tim expects that they'll find the money, but it's not here right like that.
Oh, he does. He expects that they'll... Yeah. So ODOT will come up with the money.
No, I don't know who's going to come up with the money.
I don't
know. Right. So,
or whether, you know, whether they'll work like with them and re-engineer it, because, I mean, this is not unique to Newport.
Yeah.
We're kind of the last of the coastal towns to get this, aren't we? Because, like, Florence just finished theirs a year and a half.
Well, I don't know about this particular project. What I meant is it's not unique to Newport to have ODOT do something like that. They do it in every city that they have a main street in.
Okay, so maybe, later in the meeting we can come back to this and put it on the list of questions. Okay, sorry, Tara, that was a...
Sorry.
That's okay. Does anybody have any other comments or questions about Safe Routes stuff?
I do. So are you getting any traction with the school? Do you feel like they're engaged in this and moving forward?
Yes. I mean, no teachers or administrators have been able to attend the meetings yet, which we hope will change, and that's part of the reason we're going to hold the next meeting at Newport Intermediate, which we held our first one there as well, and then the second one was at the bike shop, Bike Newport, and then our third one will be back on campus. But certainly they've been really helpful. For example, the survey and tally that was all sent out by teachers, and they really, you know, worked hard on that. We had over 60 responses to the survey, which is really good, I think, for right before Christmas break. So I think it's kind of a matter of starting small and going from there. We did some outreach for Walk and Bike to School Day in the fall at Newport Intermediate, so we gave away Odwalla breakfast bars and flashing lights and reflective leg bands and stickers and stuff, so they were open to that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's been good, but definitely if you have any contacts at the schools, please invite them. Mm-hmm.
And other than attending the meeting and participating in the action plan, what else can this committee do to help?
Well, one idea that came out of our meeting last week is that folks would like to see, potentially, hopefully in the shorter term, but maybe in the longer term, for example, meetup locations for walking back to school days. So like a local church that's in a neighborhood near where a lot of children live that people could meet and then walk or bike or walk and bike from that location to the school. So if we have multiple meeting locations, those are, of course, require volunteers. So if you're interested in that, I can include you in the emails when we get to that point.
How often are these walk to school?
They've only been once a year so far, and that's what's been put on by the bike club. When she, Danielle Crowder's the co-owner of Bike Newport, and she has police escort and the whole deal going from the bike shop to the school. And it's not a school sanctioned event, so there's separate waivers that parents sign and they had to accompany their children. So, that's probably how it would look if we had them at other community locations like churches or whatnot, that it would be, not a school district sanctioned, you know, event, but more a community event. But
and what keeps the school district from sanctioning it?
Well, they could. It would just be that then the waivers that parents sign would go through the school and would be akin to when you sign a waiver for your child to go on a field trip or something. So there's lots of ways to structure it. But there are a lot of kids that participated in the October ride.
I heard that.
It was good.
It went really well.
I did notice, though, if whether it gets cold or wet, the amount of cars that go up that hill exponentially increases.
I
go to the animal shelter that way, and I have to go through that traffic. So I see it.
Yeah, I bet. It gets bad around most schools. Hopefully we can help cut down on that a little bit and maybe increase the carpooling too. That's kind of not under the umbrella of Safe Routes because Safe Routes more works on active transportation and the health component.
Right.
But carpooling, if you have, you know, two or three or four kids in a car instead of one, that's fewer cars, so less congestion, less pollution, safer for the kids that are walking because there's fewer cars. So it all kind of goes under the same umbrella. But that actually is a good transition to the next topic, and I'll keep this really short. Am I over my time already?
No.
Okay.
You have a time.
So the second topic is Drive Less Connect. Has anybody heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's another ODOT program, and it's a website, drivelessconnect.com. Here's the information about it. It's a website that launched at the end of 2011, and the goal is to reduce single-occupant vehicle miles, reduce wear and tear on the roads, congestion, improve community connectivity, reduce pollution, increase active transportation, a whole bunch of goals, basically. And it's a website where you can do two main things. One is find carpools and commuter van pools. And there are currently no commuter van pools on the coast, but there previously was a van pool between Walport and Newport and also a route between Corvallis and Newport. And they've gone off the road just because it's a delicate balance with van pooling in terms of the cost savings. So if you don't have enough people, then it's just economical for you to just carpool rather than rent a van. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have enough people, then it goes off the road. But we work on recruiting to try to keep the routes, and then when they do have enough people, they usually go back on the road. So it's kind of a constant.
What about the Coast Valley?
Yeah.
I've taken that several times, and it's never full.
Yeah.
The word hasn't really gone out on that. I know it's not. I mean, even at Hatfield Marine Science Center, as many times as we've put it out there, people still say, "Oh, there's a bus."
And the schedule doesn't necessarily fit people's work schedule all the time, but it's definitely an option that's out there. So the Driveless Connect website can help you find a carpool. You can create a profile and then enter your starting and ending destinations and times and preferences. And then you click on a button that says find matches, and it'll show other users in the area who are going on a similar route, whether that's for work or school or one-time trips. So it's a carpool matching site, and then you can also record your trips by any alternative mode, walking, biking, carpool, vanpool, what else? Transit, of course, and then even teleworking. So if you work from home, that qualifies, because that's the reduction of a single occupant vehicle trip. That's how they include it. So when you record your trips on the calendar on the website, your own personal calendar, then you're eligible for prizes. And having people participate helps us gather alternative transportation data that can help direct future funding to communities, hopefully. That's our goal. And we have one of the largest databases in the state for Drive Less Connect. It's managed by nonprofits and regional governments all over the state. And our region, Lynn Benton and Lincoln Counties, has over 2,000 people. So we're pretty excited about that. And we have a couple big campaigns every year. One's coming up in May, it's called Get There. And the other one is in the fall, and it's the Oregon Drive Less Challenge that's statewide. And those come along with really big prizes like iPads and $500 cash cards from Wells Fargo. And we got some big, we're not using government money for that. We have private sponsors, Wells Fargo and Bike Friday, that pay for the prizes. So that's how we're able to give away iPhones and a lot of good prizes. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and hopefully encourages people to try another mode of transportation, or rewards people who are already using other modes of transportation.
So Susan brought up a good point. Can the public transit be incorporated into this so that if somebody is looking for a ride, they'll see a bus schedule pop up?
It doesn't, but it does have a link to Google Transit and local transit providers, but it doesn't come up in your ride match searches, unfortunately. That would be a good upgrade to the software. Okay. There's also not a mobile app, but hopefully there will be one soon.
Those kind of go hand in hand, because so much of that transit, I mean, it's already in your maps on the app, so they could probably, if they're working on the app technology, it seems like it could go hand in hand pretty easily.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That'd be great. That'd be a really nice solution.
And it's free, so hopefully you check it out. Mm-hmm. So when Get There comes along, you can win some goodies, gift cards or whatnot.
Did you have trouble getting the word out on that in the fall, or did you have good publicity on it?
We had pretty good publicity. We got some good coverage in the papers, and then there was advertising and emails and presentations and stuff. Our goal was reducing 78,000 single occupant vehicle miles in our region, and we reduced over 90,000. So nice. We beat the goal. And the statewide goal was a quarter of a million, so 250,000, and they were well over that. Like 70,000 or something. The original goal was, no, I'm sorry, the goal was 500,000, half a million, and they were closer to like 700,000, because the original goal was going to be a million, and then they said, no, we're worried that we won't be able to meet it, but for the first year. But they got pretty darn close for the first year. They beat their goals.
That's great.
I just had a question, just because this is the way my mind works. There's some liability issues. If you carpool, if the driver has a Dewey in their background and nobody knows about that, or somebody could even be driving unlicensed, I mean, what kind of checks are done, if any, to make sure that somebody who's saying, I'll drive, has a license, has insurance? I mean, mm-hmm. Does that happen? Or?
There's not, no. We just have a disclaimer that says...
it's at your own risk.
Yeah, drive at your own risk, basically. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I know some people in Washington, D.C., where there's a similar program, and they ask... You know, if it's not, it's either posted, they've been doing it for a long time, mm-hmm. and they have different stickers with different types of credentials or something. And mm-hmm. you can also ask and then choose not to get in the car, and there's typically, you know, other options that you can
have. Well, my sister carpooled when she worked in NIH, Northern Virginia, but that was through NIH, so right. It's other employees, so theoretically they could kind of know.
Yeah.
They could check that. That's the only, I mean, I'm sorry, that's just kind of like the first thing I think of is, oh my God, I'm going to get into a car with someone.
We've had this issue at HMSC with people looking for rides. We don't have any way to put boundaries on our listservs to make sure that it's just employees. So we've been
we've not successfully put up any kind of ride board, and we've put the word out on this, but we've not promoted it as something that our employees should do because of that liability. We have students that are looking for rides, sure. And this is not. I'm not saying it's not safe. It's not something that we can be, you know, have that confidence in. So I don't know. It is an issue. I don't really know how to think about it. But adults can certainly make their own decision about it. And I think overall, I would feel pretty comfortable for myself using this system.
And there is an option for employers or community groups or whatever to have their own network within Driveless Connect, and then you can control it with a passcode that you only give out to your mm-hmm. own folks. So Samaritan, for example, they have a network that's just Samaritan employees. So then when you're searching for a ride, yeah, I can set up a network. Yeah, sorry about that. I should have told you. So then if you're searching for a ride and you only want to search, you know, for your own colleagues, you can. Of course, you're going to see fewer matches, probably, because right. they're going to be, safer, probably.
Because I remember I went to one school where people stood out in front of a certain spot and got rides that way back in the 70s. You know, so
oh, wow.
things were different. But just because of what I do now, I think that's kind of the first thing that comes to my mind. And just because there are a lot of uninsured drivers in this part of the state, so... It just kind of comes to mind, I guess. But again, if it's made clear that it's at your own risk, then it's kind of a, then at least you're aware.
Are there any waivers or any kind of, does anyone have to sign anything before they participate?
Nope. Van pools are a different story because you're renting a van through a private right. provider, so they have, you know.
They check you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend that used to use that from Eugene to Salem. It was great for her. Because you can set your own rules. Yeah. Cell phones, no cell phones, you know, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm.
I've heard of people setting rules for their vehicle. Whenever anyone gets in, these are my rules. You won't talk to me. It was kind of abrasive, but it was early. They were on their way somewhere.
Yeah, the website lets you pick some of those preferences, like smoking or non-smoking, or preferred yeah. gender of the person you're carpooling with and things like that.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So, one more question. So, the council, the West Coast Council of Governments, what is that? Is it a governmental organization, not a nonprofit?
Yeah, it's a governmental organization, and our membership is all of the cities and counties within the three-county region, and then also the Siletz Tribe and the Port of Newport. Which are our member governments, and we do a variety of services for those entities. We run the IT for a couple small cities, City of Tangent, City of Millersburg, I think. And then we do, we have a non-emergency medical transportation program for Medicaid clients, and we do eligibility, and then of course we do planning and transportation. So really diverse array of things that we do. But our name's not really out there very much, so most people don't know what the Council of Governments does. They just might know about a couple of our programs, like Driveless Connect or whatnot.
Do you have any grant opportunities through that umbrella for infrastructure?
There's a one nonprofit that's affiliated with us called the Senior Services Foundation, and they do grants to programs that enhance livability for seniors, Meals on Wheels programs, and so forth, but that's the only grant-giving entity that's under our umbrella. Otherwise, we're grant-getting, like applying to ODOT for funds and so forth.
Isn't Doug Hunt, County Commissioner Doug Hunt, isn't he like president of this?
Yeah, he just took over as the chair of our board. Yep. Huh. And Bill Hall, Lincoln County Commissioner, the outgoing president of our board.
Okay. And how about from the city? Is there anybody from Newport on the commission?
I don't know about on the board, but all the cities are members.
Not on the board, but the cities are all members, and they have participating council people in various aspects, like on the area commission on transportation.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're involved with Lincoln County Transit, or is that separate?
We partner with them. In fact, I just dropped off a giant box of lights that we got from ODOT that were supposed to be distributed to all the transit providers in our region, so they got a big bunch of lights. So, we're not, like, they're under the umbrella of the county, but we do partner with them just because we're a transportation program.
So were you involved in that five-county thing?
Not really.
Okay. Were you?
Not me personally. Maybe
were,
the
were you involved?
Commission.
I went to the workshop they had on it.
Yeah, I was there as well.
And did that, that's just, you know, learn about it.
Apparently the ridership is really low. That's what I've been hearing.
Well.
But hopefully it's still a good service.
You always
for
have
those
problems
that do use
with
it.
Buses where there's always that frequency issue.
Yeah.
Well, Tara, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me beat your ear with all of my stuff.
And I'll keep everyone informed officially, but if you want to get, do you have a listserv or something that if people want to be on it?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and pass around my card.
Okay.
If you would like
get,
to.
I'll send around any official communications, but if you want to be part of the network, jump in. I know.
I'm missing two of your five E's. It's going to bother me. I have engineering, encouragement, and education.
Engineering, encouragement, education, enforcement. So that could be like partnering with the police to do speed enforcements around the school or whatnot. And then evaluation, which is things like why we have to do the, or not have to do, it's good to do, but like the parent tally so we can say over time this is how it changed and show robust analytics around.
Statistics are good. Statistics are good. Thank you. It's really bothering me.
Well, great. Plan to come update us anytime. You can just stop by and, you know, talk to us during the public comment, or we'll put you on the agenda.
Great.
For an update.
Sounds good.
And you are welcome to stay if you'd like. If not,
I might zip out because I have to drive back to the valley.
Okay, you've got some moonlight to escort you.
It was light so late over here. It's great. I was driving down from Lincoln City and it's still light out.
Yeah.
All right, thank you guys. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up. Anything, any follow up on that? On Tara's presentation? Okay, next up is City Council presentation follow-up discussion. With it, I think a lot has happened. I'm going to ask Peggy, would you give us an update on what has happened since? So we had, for those of you who weren't there, we had a really good discussion with them. We presented, Alicia and I and Ken and Bob were all there. And we made our presentation and we pulled up chairs at the table and I think we had a pretty good discussion going.
Great discussion. Yes.
Was it the December meeting?
This was the December work session. Yeah. And it was the first time we had presented last January on the advice of our council liaison, I think, we had presented to the city council meeting. But it was very formal and it was very stilted and, you know, it went up there. Actually, some of us got kicked out because we were a quorum and it hadn't been advertised as a meeting. And so it was just kind of, but it was formal. It was, you know, there were a few questions and then we moved on. Well, this was really a work session. This was much more of a discussion.
Well, I think I remember you guys talking about it at
got a good response, and so the city manager, it was his very first day on the job, and he was quiet through much of the meeting, and then toward the end he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. And it was very satisfying to
to hear that there would be a next step. And so, Peggy, would you give us an update on what the next steps have been?
Well, so what happened was this committee made an awesome presentation and identified the four priorities that you all discussed at your practice meeting, practice presentation. And I think number one was the installation of Cheryl's throughout the community. And I'll get the other ones mixed up, so if somebody
was, yeah.
I'm not sure what was the three.
Park Street was number two.
Park Street was two, and then the sidewalk from the Bayfront was four.
Yes, four. Okay, and then three was the Agate Beach.
Agate Beach, yeah, up by the,
the walking path.
Were those presented as in the priority that they were stated, like in our minutes and stuff? Because during our strategizing, we thought that possibly they weren't necessarily in the order of our priority preference. So was it expressed that?
I don't think I ever fixed that. I think they stayed in that order.
Because some of them are, two of them aren't achievable easy. Two of them are achievable relatively easy.
Bob made that point.
But I did not shuffle
the order. Sorry.
But that shouldn't change our priority because it's what's important to the city to get accomplished.
Right.
Is whether we put the priorities in there.
Right.
But as far as the action item, there's one that's easy to do, there's one that's medium easy to do, and there's two that are really tough. Mm-hmm. And they aren't. It's a different order than what.
Yeah.
So just for.
I think that Tim realized that. I've talked with Tim a couple times over the past few weeks, and he said to me that he will take the four priorities and he will plug them into the capital improvement plan when he's developing it for next budget. If applicable and if there's funding, they'll make them happen. Mm-hmm. So I think that I'll talk with Spencer when he comes back from his vacation, let him know what Tim said and see if he wants to head in a different direction, but typically he supports that.
Mm-hmm. But wasn't there something that would be, they said that they would get back to us by a certain day?
Oh, right, yeah. Yes. There will be a recommendation to the City Council at their first meeting in February based on the priorities. And honestly, Spencer and Tim and I were going to sit down and discuss those before Spencer went on his vacation that he had scheduled long before he ever dreamt he was coming to Newport. And that didn't happen. Tim's mother died in the middle of all of that. And we were just,
wow.
So, yeah, we had a little setback.
Yikes.
And we didn't get a meet before Spencer left.
Oh, my gosh.
Tim's really had a tough year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, my question to you, I suppose, would be, I'll make sure that you all get a copy of the report with recommendations that Tim prepares for the City Council for the first meeting in February, which I think is on the 3rd. And if you decide that you all want to come to that meeting, you're welcome to do that, of course. And we can just notice it as a joint meeting, but you can let me know.
I would try to go to that meeting.
I would encourage your attendance.
Yep.
So why don't you
why don't you join?
So notice as a joint meeting.
Yeah. And we can sit together.
So did you say that's another work session type
council
meeting?
No, that'll be an evening meeting.
A council.
Yeah.
So there'll be a report from Tim
to
the
council
that presumably Tim will work with Spencer on the report. And
Tim will probably write the report, but Spencer is going to change the process a little bit for those meetings, and he'll probably be the person who delivers the staff report.
I read in the paper where he wanted to get the meetings zero down to just maybe 2 hours rather than three.
Well, I'm looking at our next
Tuesday agenda, these meetings are too long.
Sometimes we go till midnight.
Yeah, I mean, he jumped on.
You know, it would be a real improvement for those meetings if there would be an agenda with tentative time for each matter, because I went to, for that water, you know, one of the hearings on the water thing, and I was very annoyed because in the bill it said 7. They didn't even talk about it till 9:30.
I know, it's hard. They had actually discussed that concept before and have decided not to do it, but, you know, I don't know what's going to happen this time because Spencer is going to be drafting a report. He probably already has done that, where he recommends essentially suspension of some of the council rules for a trial period so that the council can experiment with, you know, different ways of structuring their meetings.
Because even if the times were just tentative and it said in the agenda, you know, this might not be when it happens, at least you would kind of know, oh, okay, I don't have to be there at 7.
It's so hard
to know.
They
want public participation anyway. Maybe they don't.
Sometimes, I mean, if there's a hearing, we try to schedule it. I mean, we try to start it as close to 7 as possible. And all of this is subject to change now. So I would just say stay tuned.
It all depends on how many public comments there are.
What did you say?
How many public comments there are. That drives a lot of it.
It does drive a lot of it. Even though it says, I think, somewhere in the agenda or the council rules that the public comment period will last no longer than 15 minutes at the beginning, that's not always what happens.
No. No, it's not.
So I'll send you what we have. And also, as we do with every committee, we post our agenda and packet materials online.
So we're on this track now. We'll see where it takes us, and hopefully these... So I think a lot of that is kind of out of our hands, that we'll be tracking it at this point. But
well, so long as they have the same philosophy for execution, I mean, going back to the point of what's viable, what's not. The Park Street requires a ton of money. Tim has told us at the Highway 101 crossings that he didn't, that one's way down the list because of engineering issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, an honest expectation management on that. The Agate Beach one, nobody's ever really done anything other than just kind of scratch your head, and that's another one where there's infrastructure in multiple jurisdictions. So we definitely want to, you know, vet those projects more closely, but the two that actually have the potential of realization is the sidewalk hospital and the sheriff's. And I keep feeding the mantra on that sidewalk for the hospital as being one where the parking district's funds are pivotal in order to pull that off. So part of their report would want to, I would think, would want to address that funding source vis-a the Nye Beach Parking District's use of their money for the 3rd Street project.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you intertwine those, but if somebody were writing a report and it was hopeful that the parking district would participate, that would be one of the things that would be in the report.
A funding mechanism.
Yeah, because it's all about dollars. And there's already, you know, a model for participation from the parking district in Nye Beach, mm-hmm. and there's a need, and so it just seems like an overt recognition and advancement of that concept would help make the thing happen.
You know, Chuck, I don't attend those parking district meetings. Has that parking district on the bayfront agreed that this is a good use of those funds?
No.
Oh, okay.
They haven't agreed. They haven't agreed on anything. Because there are a couple projects in the meeting. The last meeting that they had was probably almost a year ago, and they were going to meet between now and they were planning to meet several times, but they never have re-met after that.
Mm-hmm. Are you on that committee?
No.
I'll check
but
with Eric and
I go to their meetings.
Does that sidewalk project look at the intersections that occur between the bayfront and the hospital? Because there's two significant intersections that are pretty dangerous, just in that they're so sweeping and wide, and the crossing for pedestrians and would be so huge. does it look at those intersections in any reconfiguration, or does it just look at putting sidewalks where there's an existing curb?
Just, I don't think it's gotten that far.
Okay.
Yeah. Has it? And the intersections, which intersection are
you? One on 13th, and then the one that just skirts the hospital, it goes through the hospital's
right.
property.
Right.
I can't remember the name of it.
Yep. That's
but both of those are excessively wide, and visibility is bad, and
yep.
cars never seem to know where they're going.
Yep.
And especially if you're a pedestrian going through when the car doesn't know where they're going.
Right.
It never happens.
Right.
I just see
yeah, the
up, lot.
Yeah, the uphill one
right
is
there.
Definitely needs some help.
Yeah. It's just...
The downhill one, the 13th Street one, is very, you know, it's just like four houses back in here.
Yeah, but it's... The problem
the upper,
is that
upper one's a
cars
big issue.
Don't see the dead end sign, so that's where pedestrians are trying to cross. And so the cars just keep going straight because they think the road goes through.
Oh, I see.
So people, I'm on that street, so people are always going down
do
and turning around. Yeah, a lot. Not constantly, but enough that it makes me worry about the people that are. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a little U-turn zone too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just
I've done that personally.
Too wide to be safe for all the for as much walking as
right.
I see.
Sounds like a great place for those little traffic calming things.
Or even just adjusting the curve so that
yeah.
it's clear where the main
mm-hmm.
throughway is, and then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be a little T off to, you know, the few
right.
houses that are there.
Well, I cannot guarantee what Tim is going to recommend or what his report is going to say.
Right.
So, yeah, procedurally, we're in a kind of a new realm here. So we've pitched, you know, we've made our case to the council, and the staff will come back with something. The council will react to it. And then we see where we're at and what our next step is, whether it's going back to the council or whether it is if they prioritize these and say that they want to make them happen, then we can see where we can help make them happen. But I really don't know what this report's going to look like and therefore what our next step is going to be.
Tim was here during the presentation when this committee spoke to council in the joint work session, so he heard everything.
Mm-hmm.
So next meeting we'll have that report to talk about.
What's the past relationship of the committee with Tim Gross been like? Just out of curiosity?
Really good at the beginning and then fell apart towards the end. Not necessarily when Tim was at the meetings, but when he had staff from his department
mm-hmm.
come to the meetings, that's when we kind of went a little sideways because we were persistent and a little aggressive possibly with our requests, and the person we were requesting it to wasn't really the person that could make the decisions. In some cases had to take it back to Tim, and there was a kind of uncomfortable dynamic that developed.
I think that's
just curious.
You know, I think that time will repair that, mm-hmm. and I think it is.
Yeah, it'd be nice for Tim to have some more bodies in his department because he lost Ted.
Yes,
and
he hasn't been able to replace him.
And he lost Greg, so he lost two key people from his department, so he didn't have a whole lot of people to
shuffle. Well, he replaced Greg.
Oh, he did. Who was that?
Olaf.
But the other thing we've struggled with is what is our role and how do we communicate best with the city council, and there were things that maybe we should have been going through the council on, where we were going directly to Tim, and so this is now our attempt to now go through the council. You know, that's the proper channel, and now it'll come back down to us, and now we'll see what this report looks like, and we'll see where we're at in our efforts.
Was this committee instrumental with getting that sidewalk that's by the Coast Guard station?
Absolutely.
For 10 years. We applied for probably four different grants.
Good, I'm glad I asked the question.
That's the reason why I'm here. You know, I was seeing all these fantastic
yeah.
improvements pop up, and it's like, wow, I want to be on that.
Yeah, because I used to go up that hill when it wasn't there, and it's
yes.
just...
it's a go trail on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what the hospital is like. Now, the hospital road mm-hmm. is a little bit wider,
yeah.
But it's that same feeling. I don't walk on that street simply because there's,
yeah.
you know, because there's a much better option. It's right over there. So if you build it, they will
sometimes.
Come.
Unless you're not going that way.
Yeah. So how far out of the way? That's like a mile.
Yeah.
It's pretty.
It is. I love going down that hill. That's my favorite part.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Well, there was a program on OPB last night that David Ogden Stiers was narrating. He was talking about livability and that sort of thing, and he really struck home the point of a sense of place is created by not only your natural surroundings, but how man-made features interact with them. And that sidewalk up the hill by the Coast Guard station where you have that million-dollar view, that view
yeah.
to come down, with the ability to stop and linger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that makes livability.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the lack of 101 beautification is a thing that helps destroy livability. And I still think this ODOT crossings thing, even though we're $300,000 in the hole, that it would be nice to have some sort of grassroots beautification concept applied to those crossings where they add a little island in the middle. And I don't know if there's a group, Master Gardeners, the Rotary Club likes to have projects that are specific. So trying to partner with community groups to accent those improvements that are, nuts and bolts would be really good.
Well, ODOT has really good precedents for streets like that. I wonder if you ask them who maintained, got them thinking about, you have all these other good examples of exactly the type of thing we're talking about all across Oregon, who maintains them in other places, because it doesn't fall on them. And I think they forget that a lot.
I read somewhere that the new city manager wants to kickstart the 101 beautification.
I'm not sure I read that, but he might have said that to a reporter.
The city council had talked about an urban renewal district that might form down the corridor of 101. Has there been any more talk of that?
That might be.
That's moving forward.
Okay. Does Spencer have urban renewal experience in his
world? I don't know, but
world?
I'm not sure whether he does, but Derek is there to guide him, and Derek is good at
sure,
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Derek was in Portland's urban renewal department I'm not sure what level at Portland's urban renewal,
but
it's a pretty high one or pretty knowledgeable one. So.
And it just takes a long time for that to move forward. We just closed down the old Northside Urban Renewal District December 16th. So.
Okay. So the next agenda item is review draft letter from city to ODOT, but I actually drafted something and forgot to bring it. But Ken had resurrected an email from over a year ago between ODOT and Tim that about the Sharrows on the bridge. And there was buy-in from ODOT. ODOT kicked it around. So there was a whole thread, and it's in your email boxes, but not in yours. But there was a whole thread, and ODOT had kicked the email around. It finally landed with the right person. That person did an analysis and said, yeah, Sharrows, good idea. It fits. I did the analysis, and I think that we could probably go ahead with this. And then I think the correspondence dropped at that point. So it needs to be picked back up. Now, Ken or someone had suggested back in July that we draft a letter. It was in the minutes, I think, for the July meeting, that we draft a letter for Tim to then finalize and sign and send to him to reopen this correspondence. But when I finally read the email thread carefully, I don't understand why he just doesn't hit reply and continue the conversation.
One of the reasons I think what I overheard is that the ODOT individual that was okay with it and was actually talking about the frequency of Sharrows that would be appropriate on the paved surface, to that level of detail, I don't think he's there anymore.
Who was
I don't know, but the person, whoever that person was, that was my understanding, is that the player changed at ODOT and then we had to kind of start over again. That would be an important thing to find out.
So,
is this in my inbox? Is that what you said?
Doesn't that kind of how it went down the
email?
Thing?
I don't know if you received it.
You remember
or
that?
Ken just sent it to us.
Oh, because that was the deal. He's gone, like a new player, which happens a lot.
Yeah. A lot.
A ton.
Yeah. So I'll send this out. So I'm sorry I didn't bring it today. I just spaced it out. But I will send. So all I did was I took that email and PDF'd it and wrote a little paragraph that said, we've had this conversation. It's attached. Let's take the next step from here. And then Tim would send that to the persons, to the new person that's in that position.
One more memory of that is when I got up to the next ODOT official, the person didn't agree with it. And that's
okay.
How that's,
see,
that's
no, I didn't that. Have that.
That's what I thought.
Oh, the higher up.
Yeah.
Higher up.
Then you're, then
so maybe that person is now gone, and now we can just pretend that never happened.
It could work both ways.
Sounds like a really good option.
I don't have that email. That was not part of the thread that Ken sent around. So I don't know why we're drafting a letter for Tim to send. It doesn't really make sense to me. So
because the city
he doesn't want to do it.
I don't know, but it, maybe if he saw that email string, it would refresh his memory and might make it easier for him to deal with it one way or another. I mean, if he doesn't feel comfortable doing it, he could at least say that.
Well, he did once. He already told Sadie to go cover with it. And we kind of convinced him. And he said, yeah, I see your point. And then it's barter or graph. Like
so that was the July meeting, and I wasn't there, but I went back and I read through the minutes, and I saw that that conversation had happened.
Yeah.
So it does seem like it's not about the letter, because Tim can write a letter. Anybody can write the letter. There wasn't any high-level content that needed to be drafted for that. So maybe that is one of the things that we should take up with the city manager on the Sharrows as a, let's see how this report looks and what their take on the Sharrows is, because this is now part of that issue.
So
I just don't know what the next step is.
Sort of is. The report, or the presentation you guys made with Sharrows in the area that we / Bob had designed along Ocean View Drive primarily, and then through the Bayfront.
The bridge Sharrow is
different.
Okay.
But you could show some linkage between, but our presentation, I don't think had much to do with the bridge.
No, it did not, because it's a ODOT issue, and that's the reason the city asked them to do it.
Okay. So how can we find out who this guy's replacement is at ODOT so that we can match make and get him and Tim talking?
Well, I'm just assuming that's what I remember.
Yeah, you're probably right.
My guess would be, I'd take what you got and talk to Sheila Lyons and see, and she can find out for you.
I don't know who she is.
She's an ODOT person.
She's ODOT person for pedestrian and bicycles.
So Ken keeps bringing this up each meeting as well. He's very anxious for this letter to be sent from the city to ODOT. And I'm just kind of in the middle here.
I think it would be good if you shared that email string with Tim. I mean, he may have been involved in it initially, I don't know. But at least it would refresh his memory, and it might make it easier for him to do something or not.
Okay, so I will send my simple draft letter and that email to Tim, and I'll ask him if he's going to send it to ODOT.
I think
we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Okay. Did we finish 7 here? I just didn't get the impression that we finished 7.
Oh. We can go back to it. I thought we had, so I moved on.
I think we did 6, but 7 I don't remember doing.
Oh, 7. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right. I skipped right over that. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we're done with 8, so we'll backtrack to 7. Yep, so I've asked Peggy to include in our packet each month the reports from, so Derek and Tim's reports from the previous city council meeting. And just so we can track projects. So the first one is from Derek, and there are a couple of things that are relevant. Do we copy? Two things that are relevant to us. One being the Safe Haven Hills tsunami evacuation improvements.
Which page are you on?
So page 2 of 3 of Derek's report. So my understanding of this project, the Safe Haven Hill project, is that there'll be a road up there. I think it will be paved, but that's kind of re-engineering whether it's going to be gravel or paved, but that it will be inviting, that people are welcome to go up there. It's not a park. ODOT made it clear that it should not be called a park, but there will be pedestrian access up there. It's hard for me to picture what that pedestrian access looks like crossing Abalone.
Part of that project included sidewalks along Abalone.
Yeah. So I haven't seen any recent drawings of that. I'm not exactly sure what it looked like in the grant application, but this is something that we could be tracking as far as pedestrian access, connecting it to the other paths.
It was partially tied to OMSI's project that's behind Toby's, their outdoor school. One of the reasons that when OMSI decided to do their outdoor school behind Toby's, they were concerned about tsunami evacuation. Mm-hmm. And that's what helped stimulate this from the other side. And I think the sidewalks are in part to accommodate that footprint.
There's an intersection of the two projects. There's
correct.
A whole Coho Brandt neighborhood project, and then there's this project, and somewhere those paths are going to connect. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really know what that looks like.
I'm curious, Marianne, at the Marine, that the Hatfield Marine Science Center, what is your evacuation route out there?
Up and over the highway.
Up over the highway, because at the aquarium we go up to college. Mm-hmm. So I was curious.
Yeah. Well, we keep those two sites in mind, so people are free to make their own choice which one they're going for.
Because we were used to go up to Safe Haven Hill, but they changed it to go up to the aquarium, up to the college now. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'll change it back to Safe Haven once the infrastructure is more developed for Safe Haven?
I don't think it's high enough.
Well, the thinking has changed over the years as more information has become available, and there's two big changes in the way we think about it. The first is that Derek has, through this grant application, Derek's done just a ton of research on this. There's been 2 geotechnical studies, and they both, FEMA wanted to know, is this an appropriate site for us to invest in? And the answer is yes, it is an appropriate site, and they're in the final stages of getting that money. The second thing that has happened is that we don't have one official site, and I don't think the aquarium will have one official site. The idea is to know all your evacuation routes and take the one that makes the most sense at the time. So, for example, we have employees that have every intention of going to the community college. They feel like they could do a mile in 15 minutes and they're going for it, and that's great, and I trust them on that, but we try to remind them, well, if you go to the lab to check on your students and you stop to help somebody, you've lost time, now you may not be able to make it there. So keep all these things in mind and go to the nearest one. But we're anxious to see, you know, good accessibility up on that hill. And so we're tracking this, but as a committee, I think this will be a great walking path. Got a nice view now that they've mm-hmm. cleared the top of it, and so there'll be something for us to check.
And you can go up there now if you wish. I mean, it's it's not posted as...
Is that that gravel path then?
And do you know where we're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and if you're free to go up there, just be mind your safety as you go up.
It's still at least a good enough gravel you can ride a bike up there right now. Mm-hmm. Like a mountain bike, you can pedal it up there.
Does it start where that big hole is?
No, that's different, but it starts kind of across the street from that intersection where the cemetery is. But it should be nice to have a map.
As you come over the bridge and
that's
here and here it is. You just
see the gravel road. It's really obvious
that's
now.
That's why we have fun.
Okay. Yeah. So a couple of other things on here, the transportation system plan update. I don't think that really has anything to do with us at this point, but... just something to track. Agate Beach Street and Recreation Enhancements. I don't know too much about this project. Does anyone else?
Is that in the Lucky Duck area? Is that
Yes. You know where the Surfers Park?
Is that where the Lucky Gap Access parking lot
is?
Yes. Okay.
And there's a porta potty there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be pretty much redesigned. Derek got a Federal Highways grant for that project. There are going to be regular bathrooms there and showers, and parking will be reconfigured. It's going to be
Surfer Heaven. Got a rental shop
this
across
is
street.
Free?
And that I would envision that. But
that's going to be a great homeless site then.
Yeah, I know there are issues that will have to be worked out, and I don't know how they're going to handle the showers, but it is my understanding that there will be showers.
Why does the transportation system plan update not have anything to do with this?
Well, this is constantly being updated, and I think that these, I just kind of scanned this, and it looks like this is just a, that this particular update has to do with the realignment.
But they talk about this trip budget program, alternate mobility standard. That's a specific thing for South Beach, which I think does have some relevance to us potentially.
Well, I'm also seeing the words infill development, which sends off all kinds of bells in my head, especially if we're starting to talk about buses and transit, because transit needs higher density to be successful, and anywhere where you're doing infill, you're increasing density. So there's a commonality there that can be really beneficial and then create more people in that area that took the bus that need the walkability.
Yeah.
So I like to look into that a little bit.
I hope you do. This has been, a 6-year project? So this is a tiny step in a process that has been very public and has been going on for about at least four years since I've been here. I think it was one of the first things I did when I got here.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been many meetings where they've been. So this now is, it seems to me to be a formality for some of the data that they've collected.
And actually the Oregon Transportation Committee approved that amendment at their December 18th meeting.
Okay.
Do you say
so I don't understand it that well.
It does. I think it has. This part has everything to do with South Beach. Yeah. I believe it's solely focused at South Beach because ODOT came into a decision that because of the bridge, a constraint, that in order for development to take place in South Beach, that they would allow development to take place maybe more broadly than they initially thought, if the city developed an alternate mobility standard that includes a lot of different things, but one of the things it includes is focusing the intersections real strategically.
Right.
The bus is part of that. The transit system is laced into that to some degree. I mean, there's their desires to lessen the trips across the bridge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Things like that. So it is a real good thing, I think, to come up to speed on, especially from new folks' perspective. In 2016, there's the STIP program, the State Transportation Improvement Project, and Urban Renewal in South Beach are partnering to redevelop Ferry Slip Road between 32nd Street and Ash. Mm-hmm. And they're moving the intersection to 35th Street from 32nd and putting either sidewalks or mixed-use paths along ferry slip to come to connect the disconnect that exists from 32nd to Ash. And it's not totally related to this, but as a backdrop, there's a ton of stuff happening in South Beach over the next several years that it would be nice. It would be nice to request from.
Be part of that preemptively instead of trying to add things after the fact.
Yeah, and so my comment that it doesn't apply to us. What I meant is that this little news item right here doesn't. But we should keep tracking these things because this transportation system plan is, as Chuck said, it's huge.
Right, and so much of what we have to do, you know, with sharrows and things like that, is because the streets are already here. And they weren't designed properly for what we're trying to advocate for, whereas the streets really aren't that well defined in South Beach yet, and if we can get some good guidelines in early, then we don't have to retroactively go back and say, but there should have been one stripe because you have 17 feet, and we need a bike lane, and all of that.
Absolutely. Would it be possible to request from Public Works a copy of that, the graphic that was created for the STIP program? I remember Ted brought it to one of our meetings about...
Oh,
6 months ago, and it was pretty,
this thing?
Well, he had a one-pager, and it showed that build-out for the STIP program that had a fair amount of detail on it and some connectivity issues. I think it would be really good to...
I'd love to see that.
I'll see if I can get that for your next meeting.
Is that an overly thing? Because I was looking at the transportation plan online and they have color coding for the different types of streets and things like that. I mean, that's
well, it was a specific plan that's funded and targeted with a date certain project.
So we'll move on to Tim's report. Anything there?
Well, they did open Big Creek Road and there's a one lane.
Yeah, I'm really glad that Delicia spoke up and suggested that we, at least in the minutes, it talks about us, you know, weighing in on that issue.
Oh, does it? Okay, I see that.
Because I think us weighing in on that issue is quintessential what we're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And we did a backdoor after the fact recommendation. But I just, you know, that's kind of the thing that, you know, we're an advisory committee relative to that type of movement. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I'm glad that you brought that up so it was in the minute. So it was, we're trying to, you know, be involved when we can. Mm-hmm. And that came through in the minutes nicely.
And it was a nice process too, the way you know, vetted that document through as well. That was very efficient and got done. So thank you for taking the lead on that. Street overlay project.
The reason I say it's interesting is because there's no Nye Street in there.
There's what?
There's no Nye Street in there. We're talking the 2013-005. I don't exactly know what that means, but I thought they were going to overlay Nye Street, parts of Nye Street.
I don't know.
And that's what we were holding up on the Cheryl's Memphis part, because they were trying to move it.
Are any of these streets, and it says Northeast 3rd, are any of these streets ones that we're waiting for the overlay before we put down the Cheryl's?
One's a very important one, the one on Benton. If they're going to get rid of that piece of gravel there. That's that was become will become a bike way then, at that point. Or a bike boulevard, that's what they call it.
But so Northwest 3rd between 101 and Coast, are there Cheryl's on there now?
No.
It's on six.
Six is the heavy Cheryl Street.
Yes.
Okay. So none of these streets are awaiting Cheryl's, except for Benton.
Benton, because they're planning overlaying Benton, we should address that issue. Look at that arterial plan again. Because Benton was going to be a gravel road, so we just ignored it. It's a good throughway.
Right. It's kind of like Nye Street is on the opposite side, right, instead of parallel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then they go along.
Are there any, I haven't read this or looked through it, are there any sidewalk projects associated with any of the?
I don't think so. I mean, I just thought we could just scan them each month and see if there's anything that we.
I can bring you up to date on a sidewalk project I see going on right now.
Which one?
And that's going to the park where the tennis courts are. I can't remember the name of that park.
Is it Frank Wade
Park. That was all gravel right along there. And I saw they put sidewalks in there today. Well, so I don't know if that's the Public Works or the Parks and Recreation.
Between where? Back there?
Between, just along the ball field there. Mm-hmm. Where they, we were instrumental, by the way, in getting that put through so a bicycle can go through there.
Mm-hmm. Sandbag Circle one?
Yeah, there used to be crazy fencing in there, but you couldn't get a bicycle.
It was like a little maze. Like
so,
it,
oh, at that part, well, just cheese at the end?
Pretty much.
Is that what you meant?
No, it says under the 2013 Street Overlay Project, this year city staff plans to build a curb and a 5-foot sidewalk on the north side of Northeast 3rd Street between Northeast Fogarty and Northeast Harney Streets, just south of the fairgrounds, and repave the north lane.
Yeah, they've already done the sidewalks.
Oh, they've done that, okay.
Now I was waiting for pavement there.
On Harney?
By the fairgrounds there, the other street, 3rd Street.
By the high school, sort of?
In front of the Boone, connecting to the Boone Center sidewalk, between Harney and the Boone Center?
Mm-hmm. Well, they put sidewalk, you got to remember that's not a sidewalk from between the Boone Center and the animal, pick and litter, or the fairgrounds, pick and litter entry. Right. After that, now they put new sidewalks in.
And you said they were in?
Yeah.
When did they
physically,
do that?
Physically in. Really?
Was that recently?
Yes, it was.
Okay, because I go to farmer's market, and I thought, I haven't seen.
You just missed it then.
That's a huge improvement, because that fairgrounds gets so much traffic.
Yeah.
That and not having a sidewalk there is crazy.
I have to notice that.
It's a safety issue, too, there.
Huge, yeah, totally.
And now there's between the sidewalk and the street, there's a little whole gap now, but they're going to be repaving over that in time.
Just a small speed bump for now to get them through. Turn carefully.
Are we keeping you from your birthday dinner?
No.
What time do you need to go?
A few minutes.
Okay, good.
Are you?
No,
you're
fine. I just realized you're still here. Bay Boulevard. The storm sewer improvements, I know we were tracking that one because there's some kind of an alignment that's going to happen after this project is complete. Is that right?
Well, it says the 2015, maybe 20. I thought I read that as 2012 through 2015, but I guess that's not what I read. I don't know what that means.
I think that's what that means. Oh.
I think the first it's four numbers are the number. Year the project was input into record, and then it's the second is the project number for that year. Because there's 2011s in here, and that was what you said had been there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my guess.
Yeah, that makes sense, because the street overlay project is an annual thing, and so that one says 2013.
Maybe it's a priority, the last number, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
So the intersection will be realigned as part of this project to provide better intersection safety.
Right. What does that mean exactly? I mean, is the traffic going to change on
yes.
it?
Yes. Do you remember when they put the bank in, they pulled it back a little bit, and you see where the sidewalk is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where the street's going to go.
Oh, okay.
They're going to make a nice round curve, and this one, next one's going to tee in. The existing Bay Boulevard's going to tee in.
Okay.
So that they don't think they can just go right through and not watch for people coming down that hill.
They do, because I go, that's my route every day.
I shoot down there on a bicycle far too often.
Yeah, I hear you on that one.
Right. So,
that's good to know.
Anything else on that?
Yeah.
OK.
Okay. Report on bicycle and or pedestrian accidents during December. Mark usually does that.
There were no accidents in Greensport.
Excellent.
Yay.
Woo-hoo. Good news.
Well, that's when we had that bad weather, too.
Should we all clap? That's good. Yeah. Safety first.
We almost had one, but...
You stay off that list. Okay, review the list of questions for city staff. Well, not having Mark here, do we have any updates from Mark?
On
or from city staff on these list of questions? And can I get
is
a copy
that the list of
the
questions
list?
That was in the April minutes?
I don't know where the list of I've never
what
seen a copy.
Well, let me tell you, because I looked for the list of questions. I think it was the list of questions that the committee put forth that they wanted a response from Public Works for. And Tim has that list, and I don't know what to report to you in terms of when you will get answers to that, but I will bother him a lot.
Send me that list.
Yes.
And I'll update it and let's work to update that list, make sure it's current and relevant.
It'd be nice if we
keep going.
Solid.
Yeah.
It's we don't have it either.
Well, I thought we just dropped that with our different way of doing things now.
I thought it happened too, and I also thought that when the priorities were developed, that it sort of fell by the wayside. But you know, it is on the website. It is in the April minutes. And I will also extract it tomorrow. And
well, we've talked about that list with Mark in recent months.
Mark
Salins.
There's one report that he gave last meeting, or was it two meetings ago, relative to the Chestnut Street project in South Beach that Mark and I had talked about. And he made the comment that, and it's I believe it's in the minutes, that Tim would have it taken care of this fall, this fall, because I said, well, you know, winter's starts on the 21st of December, so that's really here. And then when I went back and read the minutes, what he said is that the barricade that was at the end of Chestnut Street in South Beach, the opening would be made there for pedestrian and bike by that time, and it has been done, and nicely so. So that's one of the questions that we had, and along those lines, I just made a quick copy of this for the new members, the improvements to the intersection of Chestnut Street, Ferris Hill Road, South
Thank
Beach,
you.
Which needs updating because it's the original one. I'm not sure when it's dated. Is it the fourth month of last year?
Yes, it says it's April 20th.
And a couple things have happened there, and there are a couple things that we wish to still have happen there. And I left a voicemail for Tim today, thanking him for opening up the barricade that allows for pedestrians and bicycles and walkers to go through there very nicely. But what's remaining is the slight development of the shoulder north of that point to connect with the sidewalk in front of Aquarium Village. And so that would be the next little phase of that rebuild. And this is a project that Mark Salins initially thought would be a model project that he would advance with Tim kind of through the committee to see whether we could get some of the things in this request taken care of that would include some residents participating in landscaping and maintenance of the little improvements that are talked about there.
The other issue you had was the putting a bike lane or something along the road to Wimpy College there.
Yeah.
It was too narrow for a bike lane, I thought. And you said it wasn't?
Yeah, depending. And Mark's comment that Tim made was that he didn't have a comment, or he didn't comment on it.
Okay.
And that's a separate thing, but this is a neat little project that we've gotten a couple of really nice incremental steps towards the goal of completing that. And it relates to the STIP project, because the STIP project takes place in that same corridor. And I was careful to point out that these aren't things that the STIP is going to cause to be they're relevant. Anyway, that's an example of one project that I brought forward that we've gotten some movement on.
What kind of landscaping did they put in? It says simple, low maintenance landscaping.
Well, that's a request. Nothing's been.
Oh, okay. The
barricades are still there. There's just an opening between the barricades. When they put them up initially, there was no way for pedestrians to go through, and you had to walk around the barricades and actually enter the paved portion of Ferry Slip Road to continue north to get to Aquarium Village and places like that. Mm-hmm. And eventually, the barricades look not so good. People think the road's closed. It's not. And I, welcome anybody when they're in South Beach just to go kind of mill around there a little bit and see it, because it's hopefully an ongoing project.
Well, thank you for thanking him.
Yeah, it was a really easy thing to do. Would have been really easy to do when they first put it in.
Reoccurring theme.
So, with that, I have committee comments. Anyone have anything to add?
Well, along the lines of what you were saying about including it in the very beginning, I guess one of the reasons I was asking about the relationship with Tim Gross is how likely is that to happen? As they, work pushed to pave some of the roads within Newport and stuff, how likely is it, for Tim to think, oh, gee, maybe we need a bike there?
Tim's very supportive of what we're trying to do. Across the board, it's just a matter of funding and prioritizing projects in his busy schedule and in making our requests as relevant as possible to him.
And he also, sometimes when they do a paving project, they will add a sidewalk to that paving project just because it's convenient, they have enough money and they can. He's very supportive of.
I thought property owners have to be assessed for that, I thought.
In some cases, but.
Okay, that's interesting to know.
Clearly not the one he just put in over by the school.
Okay. And the little piece that he did down here below City Hall, which was huge.
Oh, that's really nice.
That's
nice.
One that I guess we go on the record as thanking him for that one, too.
Yeah,
that
is really
major,
nice.
Major one.
If some property owners want to pave their street and add sidewalk and curb and it's not in the city's plan, Tim only does that if he's already doing work in the area. But then they could create what's called a local improvement district, and they are assessed for that.
Okay, because, my understanding was that property owners paid for everything. Street, paving the street, everything.
So. That's not necessarily true. Okay. If it's already in the plan to be paved, he may well add a sidewalk to it.
That's kind of interesting to know.
Yeah, but if you decide, you want your street paved and you want it right now and all your neighbors agree, then there's that LID process.
Okay. So would you add to the minutes that the committee appreciates the efforts of Tim and the city on the sidewalk project. What's the name of the street?
I knew you were going to ask me
it's
that.
Benton. Is it Benton? That kind of turns into 9th. It's
Benton and 9th.
Right. I should know. I go on
right out here.
I go on
the top of Hatfield Drive.
Yeah, it's at the top of Hatfield Drive.
Happy birthday.
Take care.
Will this alarm go off?
No.
Okay. That would be quite the way to end. I'm going to exit.
I think in all these areas, it's kind of like, unless you mention a building, like the bank, I have no idea hardly what you're talking about because I never pay attention. When you're walking,
you don't pay attention
to the street signs.
Right.
No.
So now I'm going to have to go back with these things. I don't go to South Beach much anyway. And I'm going to have to go back with these things and walk all these places so I can see these changes.
I know that's going through my mind too.
So I'm going to send that list of questions from April. And if that's not what you're interested in,
I keep forgetting about the new one by City Hall.
Send it to me, and I'm going to check in with Mark, too, and see if he's working on a different list. And then Mark Salins.
There's this in back of Walgreens. They did some weird invading thing there.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, it's a little different.
I went there. Was this here before?
If you go down from City Hall and you're going to go down to the bayfront, Hatfield. I think that's Hatfield Drive. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. The closest one from the parking lot?
Yeah. But okay. There's now a sidewalk on that side.
Oh,
yeah. There was not.
Oh, right, oh, that's what you're talking. Okay, because I've walked down that a number of times. And thought, oh, this is kind of nice. But gee, there's still this.
But yeah.
There's still a lot of the one switch right from side to side.
Yeah, and see, that's what I was having to go back and forth.
There's still quite a
street. Because there's no sidewalk
right
all the way around the rec center.
Right
sometimes it's angled.
My problem is that
right here,
isn't
that part of the suburban area? There's no sidewalks. But then when it curves around, I think
it changes its name.
It changes its name,
right. I don't even know. It turns into Benton
Street.
So it's still an angle, and then it turns into.
There's not that much traffic. Everybody's lost.
It's like
do we have any other?
Oh, sorry.
Any other comments? From the committee before we move on to
really quick one on the Big Creek Road and the fact that it's one way, of course, so that opens up the gate for pedestrians, bikes, and walkers to be more comfortable. Is there a thought down the line that they might separate the user groups? We talked about that once years ago, whereby if the cars were, I don't know whether it's a guardrail or it's a what it is that allows the bike and the pedestrian person to be on one side and the cars to be on the other.
Nice.
Did that come up at the meeting, Alicia?
You know what I'm saying? So
I know.
Right
I
now,
have,
so it's, yeah. It's wide open. Yeah. You can walk on the side street.
No,
walk on
that meeting at all.
Right.
I mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was about it.
Okay.
Delineation is what I called it.
But it's incremental because now they've decided that it's one way, you know, to welcome pedestrians and bikes. Okay, well, that decision's been made. So what's the next step in terms of making it more comfortable? And it kind of ties into the that Big Creek Trail system through the Agby Wayside that we've talked about. Because then if it were made more welcoming, then it could be kind of an extension of that where you would come through in that neighborhood down there, and then you could walk up.
That could
up
make
on
it a really nice loop. Yeah.
Well, if you could just get to Agger Beach Wayside and then have a way on Agger Beach Wayside to keep going north. Especially right. If they're going to have that Lucky Gap thing. There is a right of way there.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that was the one that, what's his name, told me about?
Dave Team?
The city planner from years ago.
One time we tried for
I've been looking as I've been driving there now.
One time we tried for a grant.
And you can see that there's a lot of space.
Didn't make it.
It would be great to be able to do something, but maybe someday.
So I don't know how we would follow up on that. We put
let's think about it a little bit. And is I haven't gone up or down that street for a while, so mm-hmm. I guess if I drive it or walk it, get a sense of what it would take to make that happen. And obviously, traffic coming out of there is headed south, so mm-hmm. they're hugging the bank, and pedestrians are on the fall over the bank side. And it'd be nice to have a little separation between the two user groups so that you didn't feel like you had to dive over the bank if.
The situation right now is the gravel is just worn down for a path when we're going up. And if a car is going up, you have to get off into the heavier gravel. So I was just running up that today.
Is it dumb to think about that as if there's not money to pave the street for vehicular traffic, is the converse possible where you would actually pave a 6 or 8 foot wide swath for pedestrians? And if that's, you know, if that's at all feasible, then that's the kind of thing you put in a grant request. It's the kind of thing you make sure it's in the TSP, which it is already, because I believe when that issue was talked about, you guys referenced that in the TSP it talked about being at one way with a pedestrian path on one side.
No.
That's what's in the TSP right now.
If you can't pave, I'm wondering, can you put up some kind of railing that has reflective arrows? Because at night, if you're trying to share a road at night when you're walking and bike riding, it'd be nice if there's some way of people seeing.
Well, that's why I'm saying there'd be like a guardrail.
Yeah, that's
literally a guardrail.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the existing technology, low tech, high yield, separate two user groups, reflectors, comfort, all that good stuff.
So, how would we route that kind of question?
Well, I guess I would be more comfortable after I kind of walked and looked at it and had a better idea. Okay. But maybe there's sections so we'll that you would want it that were really dangerous where you'd say, well, at least do prioritize this section where they talk about that spot that's only 16 feet wide. Well, maybe there are sections where you'd have a little guardrail, so where those constraints are more notable that you get some improvements there. Maybe it's an incremental thing, but just looking at it and scratch your heads and then maybe putting it on one of our infrastructure project lists as we develop a consensus for what might happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that'd be a good one for the next set of priorities. As we move down.
Or if a grant becomes available. This is what's kind of neat about having a whole bunch of different projects that you're knowledgeable about, because if a grant becomes available that fits a certain criteria, then you can go, oh, well, and, just knowing how much it costs to put guardrail in per linear foot, and then, you can kind of vision, well, geez, $15,000 could go a long ways to make something happen or... Mm-hmm.
But that step between us, so you've got a good idea here, and we would, discuss this, vet it, go look at it, develop this idea, and then the what do we do with it?
What's the next step? We make a recommendation to the council that they direct staff to do a conceptual or a more refined analysis of the concept. Or if Tim hears about it and says, I mean, Tim's done this before, he did this on this project. He came over there and talked to myself and a property owner, and said, you guys have a good idea, and 3 weeks later they changed the street and put in a stop sign. And, so the timing was good. He, said, hey, this seems like a good idea to me. Maybe we'll make this happen.
Okay,
so sometimes the old way still works, is what I'm saying.
I'm just trying to, I'm trying to think out what's the next step. So what do we do next meeting? So if you'll go have a look at it, the next meeting we can put this on the agenda.
As an update.
Everybody look at it and, get
when
a sense of it.
When is it stretcher? Just walk along the whole thing?
Go along the whole thing and just look at it. And if you're walking or riding your bike, just imagine what an improvement could do.
Big creek to the pool then.
Maybe 3/4 of a mile, maybe. I don't think it's quite a mile.
It's not that far. It's got a little bit of slope to it, but it's
And if you go down that way and then you leave out through Agate Beach Wayside,
I could try to figure out what it is you guys are talking about. Because I still can't really figure out where you thought things were going to go, and I know I've walked under that. Never mind. But I mean, I've been trying to figure out what it is you've been talking about.
At Best Western, that stretch.
I know the stretch that goes by Walmart and comes down and ends at the Best Western, right? Mm-hmm. And then I know that you can be at Agate Beach Wayside and go under and then walk on the Big Creek. I'm just not clear on how you're talking about connecting.
I crashed through the woods there to see what, and there's a fence in there that's kind of overgrown. So I actually had to go crash around in there to get an understanding of it.
We need field trips.
But are you talking about going straight in that path?
In this last little bit of conversation, no.
Okay, I can understand that.
As one of our project guides, it's in the four. List of four.
Oh, that I understand. Okay, that I understand.
I never know where I am when I'm on that street.
And then go to the other side by going underneath the underpass, right? Okay, I understand that conceptually. I thought you were talking about somehow getting from one side to the other without doing something that I didn't understand. But now I understand what you're talking about. Okay, yeah, that is a problem.
So next month's meeting, so a big item will be the report from the city manager or the council. I guess
report to the council.
Report to the council.
From staff.
From staff, okay.
Would it be possible for me to ask one more question? It has to do with the Agate Beach Street and Recreation Enhancements. One of the things I noticed happened, it's not happening so much right now, but it happened a lot one summer. There's that surf shop on the other side. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people with surfboards crossing when they were giving lessons.
That.
If you're going to make that even more of a surfer haven, that's just walking across the highway.
Yes, it's a mad dash.
Has there been any consideration of the potential increase in pedestrian traffic?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Derek,
I
mean, all Derek they could would do know is, that, right?
Derek yeah. would know that.
Yeah. All they could do is route them up to the light. I mean, they're not going to get a crosswalk.
And they're not going to do that.
No, I think they're just going to cross.
They're just going to just
That's
cross.
What I meant. Is yeah. that if you're going
to
build
I
this
I can't imagine
thing.
A crosswalk there. It's so close to the There were never in any other yeah. crosswalks on 101. We couldn't get one for the bus.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying that if you're talking about increasing traffic there, you're talking yeah. about maybe increasing yeah. pedestrian crossing. Mm-hmm. Maybe this, you know, they kind of need to think about that, mm-hmm. yeah. that they're doing that.
So, actually, that...
have done that, but it'd be nice to know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you really have to walk to...
So we can bring that up next month.
Okay.
Bring that up for Mark. To bring to the council.
As what is it? Increased pedestrian traffic at Agate Beach Wayside?
From the yes. surf shop across the highway.
And
you know, the Lucky Gap
that project is pretty far out. I think it's not going to be until 2015.
Really?
Let's see.
That was pretty darn quick.
Construction occurring no earlier than August of 2015.
Uh-huh. Or okay. the other option is if somebody, if you wanted to just give Derek a call and find out if they'd consider that.
These guys are pretty approachable.
Yeah.
Derek I'd find to be,
yeah.
you ask a question, get yes. an answer. And mm-hmm.
great. Yeah. The other thing
Derek
is.
Derek Tokos.
He's community development. He's community development yeah. guy. Not a public works guy.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I just kind of wondered.
Yeah, I mean it's a very good question,
yeah.
and I can guess at the answer, but it would just be a guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Me too. So is that? Do you want that on the agenda, or somebody just trying to call?
Yeah,
us up?
Maybe if you can,
yeah, can
find
call.
Out and then give us.
So
give us
okay,
an update.
So increased pedestrian traffic at the Beach Wayside.
Mm-hmm. No. Lucky Gap.
Lucky Gap.
So, the agenda for next time, so the big thing will be the report, discussing the report, and otherwise...
I'm going to make that number one.
Yes.
Yeah, and anything else? And then the usual agenda items.
People continue to be thinking about things, bring them up, you know, we always have to do the agenda when we get them to come to the meeting.
Can you also add, we used to have addition of, or additional agenda items early
on. Okay, night. Sure.
Yeah.
I need to finish looking for that transportation.
Right. Well.
The support if I don't want to do in my neighborhood. Sorry, I'm just talking, I'm not saying anything.
Okay, so I guess yes. then if there's nothing else, we can adjourn this meeting.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. This is